good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all this morning, and it's always good to get together to worship God, to hear His word, and to be a blessing to one another. So let's pray that all that can happen this morning and lots more too. So we have a psalm, Psalm 1, is going to head us off. So perhaps you'll all read this together, shall we? Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like the worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Okay, so I chose that psalm because in a way it sounds a bit like what you might read in Proverbs. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs today. So that's why I chose that one. The last verse 6 there, it says, "For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction." And, you know, if you read that in the book of Proverbs, it wouldn't be out of place at all. And so Proverbs, as you know, is full of all those pithy statements that reflect like that. And a little explanation, it should have been Cyril Aston here this morning speaking, but sadly Cyril was not... he was taken unwell yesterday, and so he wasn't able to come. So it's back to me. So I brought forward my Proverbs thing, which was going to happen at the end of February. And I did say that you would be welcome to bring your favourite proverb and maybe say a word or two about that. So as I haven't given you a good week's advance notice on that, you can have sort of 55 minutes advance notice. So if we got time at the end, we could share a few of those. But don't feel the pressure. So let's pray now, shall we? As I just want to introduce the book of Proverbs, I want to ask my mum to do a read in a moment.
Proverbs of Solomon, Israel's king. Fear of the Lord is the primary thing. Wisdom cries out, and a wise man will hear. Therefore, give audience, open your ear. If you seek wisdom, you surely will find God is the author to give or to bind. Then understanding will keep you from blight, having a knowledge of judgment and right. Mercy and truth are first gems for your heart. Bind them securely, don't let them depart. Because the Lord, with fruit of your hand, then you shall harvest the good of the land. Get understanding, and let her not go. She will preserve you and help you to grow. Cling to instruction, for she is your life. But place your foot in the pathway of strife. Place not your foot in the pathway of strife. Shun a strange woman. She'll lead you to hell. Keep yourself far from his place. She does dwell. Never rebel at instruction of strife. She always rejoices with the wife of your youth. If you have foolishly signed for a friend, pay off the debt that the matter may end. Theft upon payment may rightly be cleared, but an adulterer always is smeared. Comes a young man who is empty of head. Those he enticed by adultery's bed. There but one evening he enters to dwell. There he is snared by the forces of hell.
So that was just a bit of a summary of the first few chapters. I'm sure you're quite familiar with the book. Now to turn into the book of Proverbs. Actually, you can cast your eyes to the screen if you prefer. And I've lost all my young readers this week, so perhaps we could all read it together, maybe. And we got four of these ones where we'll read it and then we'll just sort of comment briefly on each one. So, all together. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands gain guidance. To understand a proverb, a saying, the words of the wise and their reading. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So that's how the book of Proverbs starts off. And we can see there's who wrote it, first of all. It's from Solomon. That's why we're looking at it right now. We remember Solomon didn't always get his life right, but he left us these three books, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. And so Solomon is the writer, we understand, although there were other writers in the book of Proverbs that did a fair bit of it. But it has purpose to this, it has purpose. And each of those first few verses is telling us one of those purposes. So the first one is to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. It goes on to say to receive instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity. You know, we hear about a lot of about those things, don't we, today? Righteousness, justice, equity. Everybody having their say, having their due stuff given to them or whatever, their due rights. But more purpose is to give prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the youth. And so it goes on, the next one is saying, let the wise hear as well. So it's not only for the simple people like myself, but it's for the wise people too. And the wise can increase their learning. So this is an all-encompassing book for everybody. And basically, listen up if we're interested in increasing our wisdom, increasing our knowledge. And verse 7 is that very well known. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so we see that God is there at the beginning of all of this knowledge, all of this, whatever we're looking at. God is there in the beginning. And we need to begin with God. Put God in the first place and then other things fit into place fairly easily. So should we have our next reading? Okay, you ready? My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill someone just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. Let's swallow them alive like the grave. Let's swallow them whole like those who go down to the pit of death. Think of the great things we'll get. We'll find all the stuff we take. Come, throw your lot with us and we'll share the loot. And so, once more, there's some good stuff for us to take to heart there. And so, to start off with, it's especially for the child. Child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. And I guess we're always a child of our parents. And I guess when you've had kids and you grow older, you just realize that a bit more. You know, there is stuff we can learn as children from our parents, and we don't want to neglect that. In fact, there's good stuff to gain from listening. A crown of grace, a chain of honor around your neck. You know, like the old mayors wear this gold chain around their neck, don't they? Because they're in charge of a town or city. So we could have a chain of honor around our neck when we gain instruction from our parents. And then it's saying, verse 10, my child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. They may well say, come along. You know, so often we think of, can't think of the phrase now, the thing we say about children in school when they all do the same thing. Peer pressure. Peer pressure is for the young, but it's for the old people as well. And so we are subject to peer pressure, and we can be enticed in, and we can be part of a group who go off and do some crazy daft stuff. And so let's not think this is just for other people or maybe just the young. We too are subject to peer pressure, and we need to be careful. Because greed can send us that way so often. And you know, we say, well, we're not really greedy, but you know, you see an advert and you think, oh, wow, that would be nice. You see, you know, invest your money here and get this 10% of interest. Or you think, whoa, perhaps that would be better than the 0.25 I'm getting. And so we can be enticed in, so we need to be careful. Especially of the company that we keep. So let's have a look at the next part. This is all chapter 1 so far. My son, don't go along with them. Don't even set your feet on their paths. They are always in a hurry to sin. They are quick to spill someone's blood. How useless it is to spread a net where every bird can see it. Those who hide and wait will spill their own blood. They will be caught in their own trap. That's what happens to everyone who goes after money in the wrong way. That kind of money takes away the life of those who get it. It's on that last few lines there. That kind of money takes away the life of those who get it. Think of lottery winners, you know, and they're so happy that they've got this £1 million or whatever it's going to be. And yet so often their lives can be destroyed because of that money, can't it? Some manage it well, but a lot don't. And you know, we haven't got to say we're immune to all those things. We'll be all right because we are human. We are just human beings. So we need to remember that. There's a trap bit comes in the middle, setting their traps. It's kind of if the birds can see a trap. You know, with our bird brain, you know, can we see all the traps in life? Is our brain any better than a bird's brain, perhaps? You know, do we get caught occasionally? We need to be careful, don't we? Because there's lots of traps out there. We can so easily be trapped, and all manner of stuff can trap us. So let's be careful. Our next reading. Okay, everybody, out in the open, wisdom calls out. She raises her voice in a public place. On top of the city wall, she cries out. Here is what she says near the gate of the city. How long will your childish people love your childish ways? How long will you rude people enjoy making fun of God and others? How long will you foolish people hate knowledge? Pay attention to my warning. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. And so this is wisdom calling out now. And wisdom is, I think, is personified as a lady there. And wisdom is calling out. She is crying out from in the public place. She's on a wall shouting loud. You know, she's not hidden away. Wisdom is not hidden away. It's available to us all. It's there for our taking. We just have to put a little effort in to get wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is a great place to look for that. And in a moment, we're going to look at some other Bible passages and compare them to Proverbs and see how they work. And that's going to be interactive. We're leaving this here for a purpose. I'm going to need your help. But wisdom is calling out. We don't have to go far to hear it, to get it, to put it into practice. And wisdom saying those things. How long will you be rude to people? How long will you make fun of God and others? How long will you hate knowledge? You know, are you going to change? When are you going to change? Are you going to remain a child forever and say, I'm not going to grow up? Wisdom is saying we need to change because we need God's wisdom. Our own is not going to get us there. And so let's move on with our next hymn. It's number 51. And I chose this for verse 2 in particular. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. This is asking God to be our wisdom, our vision, to be with us. So should we stand and sing number 51? Right, so we're going to have some words come up on the screen. First from Proverbs there and some other words from Exodus. And I want you to see the link in between, basically. What we notice, we got Proverbs there saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then in Exodus, we say, the Lord told Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When he feels the force of my strong hand, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them to leave his land. So what's Pharaoh not picking up from the book of Proverbs? What do we notice in here? What's the link between these verses? And then, sorry?
I don't know, Pharaoh doesn't let them go.
What would have helped Pharaoh out in this instant?
If he'd respected the Lord. Fear.
Yeah. Yeah, if he'd have read that verse in Proverbs, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, he would have been in a better place, wouldn't he, if he'd have put that into practice? Because Moses would have come along and said, let my people go. He said, okay, let's do it. And so, we need to write something on another piece of paper. Our answer to what's the link in between these two. So what was the link? The fear of the Lord. Pharaoh didn't have the fear of the Lord, did he? So he didn't. P-H-A-R.
Yes.
That's why I got you writing. I don't write. Yeah, so Proverbs, you know, needs to be put into practice. So our next screen tells us another verse. Proverbs, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from all evil. And then we have a passage from Genesis where we have the snake talking to Adam and Eve. And the snake is saying, you won't die. The serpent replied to the woman. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. The woman was convinced, and she saw that the tree was beautiful and the fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it, and then she took some and gave to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were open, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So, what's the link here?
Trusted in her own judgment.
Trusted her own wisdom, didn't she? Her own judgment, which got us into sin. So Adam and Eve.
Turn away from evil.
Yeah, she didn't turn away from evil. No, she. Didn't turn from evil.
Wisdom, but it wasn't true wisdom.
That's right, yeah, it was the wrong sort of wisdom. Her own wisdom, you know, our own wisdom is not often God's wisdom. So our next screen. My child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. My son, don't go along with them. Don't even set your feet on their paths. They are always in a hurry to sin. They're quick to spill someone's blood. Genesis 6, 5 and 6, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry that he'd ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. So what are we seeing a link here? What's that? What's that doing to God?
It's breaking his heart.
It's breaking his heart. We're breaking God's heart. And can we put that on there, do you think? Our sin breaks God's heart. So we're going to flick over. Sorry?
No, it breaks the relationship.
Yeah, and breaks the relationship. So we need to confess our sin to God to repair that relationship then. Okay, so we're turning over to the New Testament now. And Proverbs 1 says simply, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And Jesus is speaking in Luke 11, the Queen of Sheba will stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it, for she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen.
Jesus is Solomon's wisdom, and we don't listen to Christ.
Acknowledge Christ's divinity.
Yeah, so we've got a whole service today promoting Solomon's wisdom. But who have we really got to focus on?
Jesus.
On Jesus. That's right. And those people, you know, look at their context in the New Testament. You know, they would have been steeped in their Old Testament history and knowledge and Proverbs.
He came to Solomon for wisdom. And he came to us.
Yeah.
We wouldn't seek him out in the way that she sought out Solomon.
Yeah, she'd put so much more effort in.
Yeah, sought us out.
Yeah, and yet here is Jesus, and he's being rejected. Go away, we don't need you, Jesus. How do we... Somebody got a nice...
We've got something about the journey. You know, that she made a journey to find wisdom, and we were given it. Presented to us.
Jesus has come to us with his wisdom. Yeah.
The wisdom of Jesus is the ultimate wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mixture of that.
Sorry.
Jesus' wisdom is where what we need.
He's the word, isn't he?
It's all good interactive stuff, I'm sure. We never know where these things are going. And we have any hope we know where they're going. So our third screen. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain the knowledge of God. And again, Jesus is speaking, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field.
God first.
Put God first.
Make the sacrifice.
Yeah. God is worth everything we have.
Yeah. All your heart.
Wisdom is treasure that's really worth finding.
Yeah.
And going out for it and digging for it.
And giving all you've got for it. God is worth everything. Treasure of wisdom is worth digging for. And we've got one more, and then we can have your Proverbs, and then we'll have a time of prayer and another hymn, and we'll be done. So Proverbs 8:22, the Lord formed me, his wisdom, from the beginning, before he created anything else. And Colossians 1 tells us, Christ is a visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as the thrones, kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him.
Jesus is the sum of all things.
Yeah. And
Christ and wisdom are definitely linked.
Same.
Mm.
Yeah.
They were there in the beginning. So Jesus, Jesus is wisdom. Is
it's creative.
We'll have a math song.
Equals. Jesus equals wisdom from the beginning. Yeah. Gotta get the beginning in there somewhere.
Oops, have we start beginning?
Try and pack it out.
Okay, so, you know, Proverbs is not just a dusty old book of nice little sayings that we can just sort of pull out on a fluffy summer's day, you know. It's actually quite central to the Bible, to what Jesus was teaching as well. And, you know, and so that's what we're trying to bring out here, I think, that, you know, it is central to Scripture. It's easy to say, well, it's kind of a nice little book on its own, and some bits we don't understand. It's true. And yet it's there for our learning. And Jesus used it and used the wisdom there from it as well. So does anybody have a favourite proverb of their own they'd like to share with us? Bruce. Yeah.
So, I mean, we've already seen a few of the fear of the Lord proverbs this morning. That's something that grabbed my attention probably about a year or two ago, and I'm constantly amazed by just what blessing there is in the fear of the Lord. So this is Proverbs 19, verse 23. If I can just find it. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. And it's just to me, I guess, yeah, it's one of those kind of full things, you know. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and if you have it, you rest satisfied. You'll never be visited by harm. You know, it's a huge blessing there. Yeah.
Bruce, thank you. Anybody else?
Well, you've already used one of my favourite ones, which is Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. I was converted just before I went to university, and the Young People's Group gave me a book of daily readings, Living Light.
Yeah.
And they wrote in this with the implication, you'll need this when you're at university,
yeah,
to trust in the Lord. And they were right, but it was vital to me.
Yeah.
And keeping my faith through the university.
Yeah, good. Very practical. Thank you. Shall we pray? Lord, we read in your word that if we need wisdom, that we should ask you, because you are generous and you will give it to us. And you will not rebuke us for asking, Lord. So, Lord, we pray now that you would give us your wisdom so that we can act wisely in our affairs in this world. And, Lord, that your light would shine from our very beings as we live our lives. And so be with us now, Lord, we pray. Amen.